are now listening to Lower Road Radio.
Let's get it.
What?
At Tanagra, When the Walls Fell, this is Dan Owings coming at you another time for Lower Road Radio with my co-host, as always, Jason is here. We're in the Daffy Down Studios. He's wearing a Daffy Down Industries hat. So is Jesse. And a Daffy Down shirt, doing what Jesse does, doing Jesse things. go to daffydown.com and enter Lower Road Radio in the promo code, and you get 15% off.
15!
And 15. You get some, you know, amazing Daffy Down gear or whatever.
Merch.
Preston is the czar of information. Stella is on the ones and zeros. How we doing, Stella? You had a look of concern on your
face.
She
always has that look.
Okay. All right. And we are... there's been much anticipation for this show. We got the one and only Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan back on the show. Ray, it's good to have you with us.
It is phenomenal to be here. I couldn't be happier to be here.
Yeah.
My wife is very happy that I'm here.
Yeah. Well, we were wondering about that because you ducked us, which honestly, which I don't say that with any sense of it's only expected, you know.
Well, especially from elected official.
Yes.
You know, I get that.
So so the message that Jason sent me or whatever, he was like, oh yeah, he said I spoke with my wife or something. And we're just like, what does that mean? I spoke with my wife. I don't know if you do this. I don't know if anybody does this, but I make my wife the bad guy a lot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, see, I don't make my wife the bad guy.
It's just natural.
Yeah. Well, no. Boy, when she listens to this episode, this is going to be great.
This is Ray's last time.
Yeah. It was wonderful being here with all of you. And by all of you, I mean everyone on Earth. This is great.
But you'll have a good time in purgatory.
Yeah, right.
Well, we'll talk about that.
Look
later.
At that. I'll tell you what. We're getting there, pal. I have learned as a politician, as somebody who is busy and has commitments and things that come up, that it is best for my well-being.
Yes.
That I check with her to make sure the master family calendar is, if nothing else, updated.
Yeah.
She is the keeper of the calendar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she wishes that I would take a more active role in the family calendar.
No, she doesn't.
No, you're right.
Do it for a week. That's it. That's all you need.
It's a good idea, but no.
Yeah.
That's one of the keys to a successful marriage.
What's that?
Check with the wife.
Check with the wife.
A good check with the wife.
You know? I've told people that I can't be to things so many times. I said, listen, I talked to Erica. Listen, I'd love to be there. Would I love to be there?
Yeah.
You know, Erica.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do?
What are you going to do? And that's, you know, sometimes you know Carrie. I mean, yeah. You know.
So it turns out that we have made some false assumptions about you on our show. In particular, we make false assumptions all the time about everything.
Wild accusations.
There have been people all the time.
Oh, we're going to talk about your wild accusations.
Okay. Don't you worry. Good. One of the, you know, all the time people come up to me and they'll reference something I'll say at the show. And I'm like, nothing we say means anything at all.
You cannot be held responsible for what happened.
We should have a disclaimer before.
I did make an assumption. Apropos of nothing, that you were Catholic. It just seemed like you were from a Catholic area of the world.
But you're Lutheran.
Well, so here's
Let's get into it.
Truth be told, we're gonna dive right in. We're gonna do this. This is gonna be fantastic.
Yeah, let's do it.
A lot of bearing of the soul. No, so I grew up Catholic.
Okay,
I was a cradle Catholic.
Yeah,
I grew up in New York, or as I like to call it, the People's Republic of New York.
So I was right about the Catholic guilt then.
You couldn't have nailed it any better. And I tell people this. So my mother is Italian and Catholic.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but do you know how many Italian Catholic mothers it takes to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
None. If my son wants me to sit in the dark and not be able to see anything, I'll just sit here and wait until he has time to fix my light bulb.
He's explaining my Catholic grandmother perfectly, too.
That's good.
Yeah, that's so. Okay. I live with this, but I am now Lutheran, which is like all of the Catholic half the guilt.
Yeah. Right.
It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's why I like to go roll.
All right. Okay. Well, I feel good that I didn't, I wasn't completely off base.
No, you nailed it.
Yeah. All right, good.
Absolutely.
Okay. The one thing that I know I was right about 100%, and let's just get into it. We had an episode called The Jaywalking County Prosecutor. I've talked to some people in our city, and they're ready to rename it Raywalking at any point. So
it's going to be on the ballot in November.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I think I should tell you about is in the United States of America, we have very strict, dare I say stringent, defamation laws. Okay. And
well, we have learned to use the word allegedly.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so I think this allegation, okay, that I somehow crossed Center Street while impeding traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Just remarkably false.
Okay.
Okay. There are eyewitnesses.
Listen. All right. I listened to the show. I've heard the list of witnesses. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, did I cross the street?
Okay.
Yes, I did. But. Was there any oncoming traffic? No,
right.
No, there was not. It was entirely safe.
Right. So it's like did I inhale situation.
here's what I will say. I as a call to action from your prior podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be better.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna cross at the crosswalk.
Yes.
You know, every time now, but the notion that I in any way made anybody unsafe, including myself or any motorist.
Yeah.
In the words of Donald J. Trump, wrong. Okay. So
all right.
So we can lock that into stone that you will never go jaywalking again raywalking.
Okay, Jason. Here's the thing. Okay. That assumes I jaywalked the first time, as opposed to merely crossing the street in a safe manner,
right?
Which is, from what I recollect, exactly how I crossed the street.
Did you shimmy though? Did you shimmy?
It was a shuffle. It wasn't a shimmy.
Well, sometimes you see, that's the thing. You see, and that's hurtful because I would say it was a jog.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Like the Biden jog.
Yeah. But maybe not quite as quickly as President Biden, because I don't know if you could tell this or not, but and I appreciate the new camera angle this time. Mm-hmm. I'm chubby, so sometimes I think it's a jog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it looks like a shuffle. Which is probably what happened,
right?
Yeah,
but it was not a shimmy.
It was not a shimmy. No, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Jesse, but it was not.
I just roll. I fall and I just keep going.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to get all of these. You know, I didn't want to besmirch your character.
I appreciate.
But
that.
I do feel like the American people. You know, they just want an answer.
Yeah.
You know, they need to know.
Sure. That I think it would have qualified as jaywalking had I, you know, impeded traffic. Mm-hmm. Although it's funny because as you guys were talking about it, I do recall that while it was entirely safe when I crossed the street, I did hear an engine rev. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes some sense now, Dan.
Okay.
So
it was my Toyota Sienna. All right. Good, good, good.
But it's
good.
A souped up Sienna.
It is souped up.
So
it's only got 269,000 miles on it. I think it's good to have you as a repeat guest on the show. We you will be our legal expert moving forward. And I have a specific legal question for you tonight.
Okay.
And I want to know, so if we can, I've got a person that I need to hunt down that I want to know if this is prosecutable. Is that a word?
Sure.
Okay. If this is prosecutable. So my son is being cyberbullied.
Oh.
That's not good.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good.
No, big problem today.
And I don't know, I don't understand how this works.
Is it Jesse?
Is it Jesse?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If it is Jesse,
I don't remember doing it.
Okay.
But
so if it is Jesse, absolutely prosecutable.
Okay. Good.
I just want you to know
that. Good. Well, so like it was. I'll say it this way. When we found out, we were all together yesterday, and Levi was explaining it to us, and Erica, his mom, is being very, you know, protective of her little boy, you know, because here's he gets just this random Facebook message, but somehow the person could message him, but he can't figure out who it is. I don't really know, but I'm going to try to not say the cuss words. It just gets a message that says, you're ugly as hell. So he just he gets that message.
That just comes in.
Yeah. And then about 15 days later, it looks like. Yeah, because I had him send me a screenshot. Yeah. It says, you're bleeping ugly, just downright plain ugly.
Mm.
And then a day later, he says, and this is when it starts to get really personal, you and Grace, his wife, you and Grace make an ugly couple. She needs a sexier man than you ugly face.
Wow.
Yeah. And we don't know who this is. Obviously, mom, very upset.
Yeah.
You know? Clearly. Yeah, she's like, sure. Well, obviously, he doesn't know you, Levi. This is not a person, because no one could say that about you.
I'm You're like, just such my handsome boy.
I'm like, I don't know. It sounds pretty personal. So, yeah. First of all, we could break down the situation. Who is this person? Is this? I tried to grill Grace. I said, "What kind of ex-boyfriend are we talking about here?"
They mentioned Grace, exactly. In particular, right?
And that that she deserves
a sexier man
than his ugly face. So, you know, is this? If we can find out who this is, can we bring charges against this person?
Sure. Anytime you use a telecommunications device, and a telephone would certainly, or cell phone would certainly be one.
Yeah.
For the purpose of annoying or harassing or threatening another person,
yeah,
that's a crime in the state of Ohio.
Oh gosh, we got Jesse. We got tons of evidence. Yeah. Yeah.
I literally just text Levi and said, "You ugly as hell, bro."
Jesse, I have really bad news for the end of the show, Jesse.
I can unsend. Should I unsend?
So, okay, all right, that's good to know. So when I hunt the guy down, I'll just send him your information.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay, good.
Interestingly, though, if you have a one conviction for telecommunications harassment, it's a misdemeanor, believe it or not, on a subsequent offense, it's actually a felony.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it fall into federal crime? Because it's like wireless, international...
That's a good question. I don't know. There's probably some federal...
Well, if it's crossing state lines, like if this guy's in Pennsylvania...
Yeah, I think... I don't know that the FBI would... I mean, they might get involved. Because I'm not trying to diminish Levi or Grace.
Sure.
Because this is...
Appreciate
that.
Have you seen a picture of him?
I have not. But, I mean... I was talking to Erica beforehand, and as Jesse said, he's a beautiful baby boy. So
yeah, he is.
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know why anyone.
Well,
would
somebody say striking 20-year-old man.
Somebody doesn't think so. So Grace didn't seem to be too worried about the whole situation. Almost concerningly unconcerned.
Yeah. Maybe it was her. No, it
was, yeah. She creates a burner Facebook account just to let him know. Listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When were they sent? What were the dates?
So one was like January 14th, and it was February 1st and 2nd. So
Jesse, where were you January 14th?
Yeah, we're gonna need your phone as evidence.
I plead the fifth.
All right, good. So I know that. I understand that. I know that you. I don't want to step on your toes. Do you have anything that?
No.
You okay?
I got a very pressing question.
Okay, do it.
I think people of Marion deserve to know.
Just a little teaser before you say what you say. Just because I just want to plant this in Ray's head, and then you say what you're going to say.
Okay.
And you might know, you might be aware of this already. We are going to need, and I don't want it now, an actual official stance on the Civil War from you, but before pro-South or North. But before that, Jesse, what were you going to say?
Yeah. So what is Ray Grogan's take on nicotine?
Oh, okay.
My take on nicotine?
Yes. Yeah. Are you pro-nicotine?
I don't use nicotine.
No.
Any adult who wants to use nicotine, and I think the law is pretty clear. They should be able to use nicotine.
I was just asking about you.
Oh, me.
I was going to offer you a Zyn.
What is a Zyn?
It's a nicotine pouch.
Really?
Yeah. Helps you really
the
get
only
dialed
person
in.
That uses nicotine pouches that doesn't smoke. Like he's not doing.
You didn't use them to quit smoking.
No.
You were just like I like nicotine pouches.
I went from nothing to I heard a podcast about the positive effects of nicotine. I was like, shoot, might as well.
Well, what are the positive effects of nicotine?
Well, it helps you focus better.
No kidding.
Yep. The Andrew Huberman, which he's an expert on just about everything, mm-hmm. says that it's like using a highlighter to like just focus in. If you're reading, if you're doing work. So I tried it and I liked it.
No kidding.
And I'm zoned in right now.
You're zoned in on the Zyn.
I'm zinned in.
Can let me ask you, how many pouches come in a Zyn
15.
Tin? 15. How much is that?
Like if you buy two of them, it comes to like $7. So it's like $350 a piece.
Wow. But he goes through a pack a day.
Roughly.
How long do they last?
20 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just depending on like just, how wet your mouth is or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, once again, Zyn, not a sponsor official.
But if they came knocking, would you listen, I'd put a big old Zyn sign behind me and everything.
Here's
well, I was hoping
this is the and you know, Jesse, you know I love you.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the stereotypical Jesse thing to do. You know, Jesse loves a cut through, you know, because there are other ways to improve focus. And I think Mr. Andrew Huberman would agree with me that just general diet, exercise, sleep. There are a lot of things that you could do. Maybe stay off of TikTok for 5 minutes at a time. You know, like things like that that might be able to help your focus in other ways rather than maybe I'll just take a bunch of nicotine and then I'll just hyper-focus on it. And it seems to me what you hyper focus on pretty well now is getting more nicotine.
Fair.
Like you seem to be really focused on it.
And he's all pushing I think
it. He's pushing on everybody.
Yeah.
Listen.
You're kind of a nicotine pusher. I mean, I've never encountered somebody like this.
Listen, you know who's a great man, great for this country, who pushes it harder than I do?
Oh.
Tucker Carlson.
Is that right?
Yes, he uses it. Yeah. Oh, he's even bigger on Zyn than me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he'll sit there and he'll be like, you really need to try this. This is the best thing in the world. Mm-hmm. He says that it makes him a better husband, a better father, mm-hmm. a better political commentator, all of it. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to up your prosecutorial game.
I should use nicotine.
All right.
Okay. I mean,
would you like to try now?
No. Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
I've been waiting all week to offer Ray a nicotine pouch.
Can we talk about? I don't think anybody can see it, but it is literally on the edge of the table.
Yeah. No.
I couldn't touch it if I wanted to.
That's why I put it there, just in case.
It's getting closer and closer.
That's 2 weeks. Jesse's like, I'm going to leave it here. And when Ray comes in, I'm just going to bring it up.
That's all he needs for his election. Just a video of him putting a random pouch.
Listen, in marriage.
Yeah,
out of it, you out might of, get some new voters.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Yeah. Marion Crime Chronicles.
Well, can I just say that? I know we're having fun and everything, but I do have to say it's interesting you say that because for 2 weeks in a row, we have not in our community in Marion, which all of you by doing this podcast make better, your work makes it better. For 2 weeks now, we have not had a single fatal or non-fatal overdose. Wow. In Marion County.
That's like a record.
It's you'd have to go back. I was talking to one of the drug task force detectives, and he's been there since 2015. You'd have to go back before his time. So it's probably about a decade or so. So we are hopefully turning a corner.
You're taking credit for this.
Absolutely not. No. The people on the streets, those are the cops on the streets. They deserve all of the credit.
Yeah.
But what he's not saying is nicotine's bad.
No.
So,
yeah.
It could be a gateway drug.
No. I don't want to do coke or heroin after this. I just want more nicotine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was a very positive thing, and I just ruined it.
I'm feeling
the vibe. Everyone's like, all right, he just said a really good thing. Sorry.
No, he knows what show he's on.
That's right.
He understands.
And we're having a great time. This is fantastic.
We're having a good time.
We are.
So, thanks.
Do you know Dusty Slay?
He's funny.
He's a comedian.
That's his thing. He says we're having a good time.
We're having a good time.
And he holds his hand up.
He's funny.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Very funny.
You got to watch him.
He'll be on the show one day.
Speaking of comedian, I'm sorry. I'm hijacking this whole thing.
Fine. You're all nicked up.
Ray and I are friends. Mm-hmm. You know, he saw me out. I was like, yeah, everyone, Ray Grogan knows me, whatever. But oh my God. Last episode.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. At a basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even know he was there.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because it's funny. I didn't realize you could scalp tickets to a 6 and 7 year old basketball game. Mm-hmm. Jesse was in the parking lot on Saturday at Dayspring.
Yeah.
I'm just.
He's like, I got two.
Yeah. I did with the cardboard saying says, I need tickets. I don't want to rat him out, but he was there.
I was selling him to get more nicotine. Mm-hmm. But last time you were on, you said something. I didn't get to address it. You said something about watching Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
Is he your favorite comedian?
Ooh, that's a good question. Favorite? I don't know about favorite. Some of my I would say I have several favorites, which I know is not you're not supposed to have several favorites.
Sure. Well, you can be in between favorites right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but like my wife and I, for example, we've gone to see Bill Burr.
Yeah.
My stomach hurt from laughing so hard. we've gone to see Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. We've gone to see Kevin Hart. We saw him in Cleveland. That was fantastic. But Bert is someone. Whenever there's a new Netflix special, we're watching it.
After my man.
After the kids go to bed.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But have you seen him lately?
He's lost weight.
He looks phenomenal.
You know why?
Why?
Nicotine. He's bad boys. He's on the Zen train too.
Is that right?
He is.
Yep. And you're not getting any sponsorship.
I'm trying. Are you? I'm trying so hard.
It really feels like something on the side is happening.
All right. What you guys don't know is he gets a per diem, if you will, for every time he says on your show.
Just another. They're just sending you more.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the money. He just wants more. I want the
It would save me a lot of money.
All right. Well, we were talking about the Civil War last week, and I was just doing some research into your history, Facebook page, that sort of thing. And
my history. I mean, my Facebook history is kind of
sure. Well, there's a deep dive that can be done.
Sure.
You know, I looked into the dark web and whatnot, and there's a glaring missing chunk from any campaigning that you've done, which is I don't see an official stance pro North or South on the Civil War. And we just thought we'd just get this breaking for the podcast. So will you come just you know, don't skirt around the issue, you know, don't play your games, you know, we're going to hold your feet to the fire.
Okay.
North or South Civil War?
North.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa.
Listen.
Whoa.
You're pro big government?
Yeah. What do you have against state rights?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty solidly pro North camp, guys. Okay. I think
was it the slavery? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think that that unlike Nikki Haley, I will say nope. It was about slavery.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
you are pro North.
I am pro North.
And anti-slavery.
And very much anti-slavery. Uh-huh.
And you were so you think ending the slavery was a good thing then?
I think it was one of the greatest things that. Uh-huh. We've ever done in Western civilization.
Okay, all right. I'm picking it up. Yeah.
But the flag, though. Wait, what about the flag?
Hold on. Let's just dissect what he just said there, because I have a discerning ear. Okay, I'm not going to say I'm woke, but I'm awake. And what I heard you say is freeing the slaves was one of the best things that we've ever done,
who's we?
So you feel like they needed you, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm hearing, you know, is like the slaves needed you, you know, to come and rescue them. Like, is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. what
are you? Great, you're all over the place. Okay,
yeah, I think I'm kind of. You know, I'm going down a singular path here.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hear you saying that with those words, but everything else is kind of all over the place.
Okay. So, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm solidly pro-North.
Okay. All right.
I believe the Civil War was about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
I think that good conquered evil there.
Okay.
And
all
that's my stance.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. I appreciate that. And Nazis, yes, no. What? How do you feel about them?
Big no.
It's a no on the
That's
Nazis.
That's a big no on the
Even
Nazis.
Even though they made the Volkswagen.
I, still a big no.
Okay.
I gotta be honest.
Not let the record show. He hesitated, okay?
Yeah. Sure. When I mentioned the Volkswagens, he thought about it.
Oh, man. Now, at the end of the day, you did land in the right, you know, but we almost had you.
Yeah, nope, solidly anti-Nazi, anti-fascist. Okay.
If you're in the hot seat, and I appreciate
that. Yeah, these are very, very difficult questions. what is remarkable to me is that there are some people who are running for president, mm-hmm. who quite honestly would have had trouble with those questions.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
For reasons that I just can't quite quite really fathom. To be quite
I was listening to. Are you a history guy?
Look, do I know some stuff? Mm. Sure. I know political history. I studied that. So that's kind of fun.
Okay.
But I could survive on Jeopardy,
sure.
I would say.
Do you know who it's fine. Do you know who Shelby Foote is? I love Shelby Foote.
Did you ever watch the
Ken Burns Civil War documentary?
I have didn't Ken Burns do a documentary on baseball?
Yeah,
and he was okay. I watched that,
and Shelby Foote was on that too. So you might recognize him.
Yeah, okay.
He's got a southern guy from Mississippi, older guy, got a drawl.
Deep South,
and he's got. I could listen to the guy talk for hours, and so I'll find interviews of him. Because he didn't get popular until he got older, but he was friends with all of these famous Southern writers and so he's really interesting, and he is the Civil War expert. He's very interesting. Okay. The thing that he always says that I just love so much is the Civil War, before the Civil War, everyone would say United States are, but you see, after the Civil War, it was the United States is. You see, it made us an is. That's what he says. It made us an is. Because, he's talking about the state's rights and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So it's interesting. I love Shelby Foote. But the reason I bring him up, and I'm getting to it, there was definitely a reason why I brought him up.
And we'll just keep talking. We'll figure it out.
Oh, no. I was listening to an interview with him. And it was in the 90s. He's no longer with us. But they were asking him about the South and racism in the South. And they were specifically asking him about a particular friend of his who is a famous author, and they were asking him about was he a racist? He's like, everybody was racist. he's like the black people, the white. He's like, everybody's racist. He was confused by the question, and I just found it honestly pretty refreshing. It was William Faulkner. That's the guy that he was talking about. I found it pretty refreshing just to listen to a guy he just was confused by the question. He's like, and he was not interested in pretending because he's not running for office. He's 90 something years old. He's just living his life at this point, and he was just talking bluntly about it. And it was really refreshing and interesting. So maybe that's my Netflix suggestion of the week. I don't know. But Shelby Foote, just random Shelby Foote things.
Can you search Shelby Foote in Netflix?
I don't know about Netflix.
But if you were to Google it, though, you'd get the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm very pro Shelby Foote. There was another thing that I wanted to bring up and talk to you about. Civil War, we talked about that.
The Nazis,
we talked about that. Catholic check, guilt, check. We got that.
Check.
Yeah. I besmirched your character multiple times. The Ray walking, the cyberbullying. Oh, I got one more thing. And then we can do whatever else. You got stuff, I got stuff. Okay. This is actually a serious question, and you can... You are allowed to say that you don't want to answer this question.
Okay.
Like, if you're like, hey, you know what, I'd rather not talk about it. That's fine. It's nothing local that concerns you in particular. But I became addicted to this podcast that was about, it was called, what was it called? Doesn't really matter what it was called. But it was about a guy that was wrongfully convicted for murder in Florida. It was fascinating. It was 10 episodes long, and it just totally sucked you in. And it got me thinking about it, and I was thinking, did you watch Making a Murderer? Was a huge show.
Yeah. Right? Stephen Avery?
Yeah. It's how do you, from where you sit, because it's easy for us to just get sucked into that, right? Because you can present things in a certain way, let's face it.
Sure.
How do those things sit with you? Does that make you feel, uncomfortable because you know how things can get twisted?
Yeah, well... What I can tell you is when my wife and I watched the original Netflix one. Mm-hmm. I think there was one and two that were on Netflix, season one, season two. And it was riveting, right?
Yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. As we were watching it, though, I don't know, by about the second episode, at this point I had been an assistant prosecutor, right? And so my wife and I are watching it, and I'm viewing it through the eyes of a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And... there were certain things that the documentary brought up. So, for example, when they go and look at the blood that had been analyzed and the vial of blood, and it looked
the
like
the seal was broken.
The seal was broken, yeah. And mm-hmm. things, and you're like, wow, okay, maybe there's you know, something here. But when the jury came back and convicted him, you know, I remember thinking to myself, there's got to be parts of the story that the documentary maker left out.
Mm.
And it turns out there was a lot of stuff that the right. documentary maker
did. You
left
see
out.
The Candace Owens version?
I have not watched that yet, but I want to because I heard she does a pretty tremendous job.
Yeah, well, she plays the other side of it.
Okay, does it from the prosecutor's point of view?
And
did that prosecutor get in trouble?
I don't know.
I thought like he was having. I think later on, I think he got disciplined because he was sending inappropriate text messages to victim or something. But mm-hmm. but nevertheless, So when I watch it, I'm kind of ruined, mm-hmm. right? Like Law and Order. It's fun. It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
But you know, like I promise you, I've never had a defense attorney come up to me with a blue trifold folder and smack me in the chest and go, "You've been served." Yeah, no, that's not how any of that works.
Yeah.
And also you don't commit the crime like on Tuesday and then you're in trial like right, 4 days later, right. You know? And so parts of it, I guess, are sort of ruined for me. But I will tell you, especially as a prosecutor, the idea that it's every prosecutor's worst nightmare,
right?
That you would convict somebody
mm-hmm.
who was actually innocent,
yeah.
And the system is designed to, with many many safeguards and checks and balances, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there are cases that are devastating,
right?
Where that does happen.
Well,
that
the road system.
The wrong has to be right.
Our road system is, you know, hopefully optimally set up to avoid car crashes, but we can't, right?
That's
like,
right.
You know, on some level, chaos happens. It's called, just for anyone who's interested, it's called Bone Valley is the podcast.
Okay.
It is like Making a Murderer in the sense that, like, once you start, you're like, it's, like, incredibly fascinating. And you're listening to it, you're like, I don't know how this guy's still, 36 years later, still in prison for this, but I also know the guy that's making it is trying to sell his podcast too, and sure. I'm only hearing his point of view, really, or the part of the point of view of the other side that he wants me to hear, you know? So I was listening to it, and I'm just getting all fired up. I'm like, how can I get involved and help this guy or something, you know?
Yeah.
But and then all of a sudden, I was thinking about you, I think because I was driving when I was listening to it, and I almost hit you because you were...
I knew it was coming.
Because you were...
I knew it was coming.
That's a great callback.
I love that. That was pretty good.
You had an armful of bonbons.
Sure.
And you were running, you know, while eating them, which
and
was impressive.
Those phenomenal bonbons at the corner market. So
phenomenal
they
bonbons,
are, they,
yeah.
with the two index fingers up, so the camera, phenomenal bonbons.
The tremendous. So I,
huge.
Anyway, it just occurred to me that I just thought, you know what? I'll bet from a different point of view, it could almost be annoying because the podcasting world is full of these things.
Sure.
And for some of them that probably are true, there have to be others that aren't. And that's got to be really frustrating.
Well, you know, it's funny. Matter of fact, I just had a conversation not too long ago with a very good friend of mine who's a law enforcement official. And we were talking about perhaps doing a podcast. First of all, the audacity that I could pull off a podcast, right? Like, there's all these wires. I have no idea what they go to, right? I mean, this looks complicated.
We don't
there's
either.
Lights, right? There's lights and there's different color them. Lights. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm.
It means it was on sale at Menards.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. So basically just wait and like, get them on sale and then you can have a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, when we... you know, when we prosecute these cases, you know, so for example, in October, we had a case where a young woman had come forward. She was the victim of a sexual assault that had occurred from her mother's boyfriend over a period of years, and she never came forward. And then she did, and what she told us was extraordinarily compelling, and we were able to corroborate that with some other evidence. So I always thought that it would be pretty neat to, from a prosecutor or a law enforcement perspective,
right,
to put on a podcast demonstrating how these pieces of evidence sort of come together and what that means in the overall scheme of things and then ultimately how it's presented to a jury for them to consider. But I don't know, we've not done it yet. We've talked about it, like, you know, as we're heading back from lunch, like, you know, it'll be cool. And then, and then I don't know, we check our email.
I get it.
So
yeah, well, I'd it. Listen.
What's, all right. So it's one.
It's one. One.
That's one.
No, what's interesting?
I just got a lot of stuff going on right now. That's, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just, you know,
you're saying you wouldn't. You're just saying it's not the right time.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's not me. It's you, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No, what's interesting is like the Trump prosecutions right now, because there's
here
many,
we go.
They're all politically driven.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
They're ridiculous, right? Yeah. Every single one.
For sure. And listen, I don't mean to demean another prosecutor's work. Okay. Yeah. But when you look at these cases. For what if you take the drone up 3,000 feet, right, and you examine these cases from that perspective, I suppose
they're absurd.
It's funny. So I was just my son and I watch a YouTuber named Simon Wilson. I don't know if you know Simon Wilson or not, but he goes all over and he does these like no money challenges where he'll go to a place and not spend any money and like sleep on the street and stuff. And it doesn't really sound like a great vacation to me, but to each his own. But he was in Pakistan a week or two ago, and he just uploaded the video. And he was approached by an individual who, a Pakistani citizen, who was talking about Imran Khan. Well, Imran Khan was the prime minister of Pakistan. He was essentially ousted from office in 2002. He's been charged with a whole series of crimes and has been sentenced to years and years in prison. And so I say that because it used to be that the unsettled, I suppose, you know, the what we would consider maybe the the parts of the world that didn't have a legal system like we have here, that those were the parts of the world where your political opponents would be prosecuted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing that here now. And that's, it's a really, really, frightening proposition.
Well, it's politically driven, not justice driven.
Yeah.
Justice driven, it doesn't matter you're left or right.
Sure.
You know, black or white, whatever. It's, did you do something wrong?
And it feels a bit precedent setting to me.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, there's a reason why it's the first time ever that a president has been charged with a crime, right? Mm-hmm. No, look, I'm not saying, look, if someone breaks the law, they should be punished for that, and everyone should move on with life. But it is a little interesting that with the New York case, for example, the federal officials looked at the financial dealings and
said,
yeah, there's nothing here. But then the DA in Manhattan decides, oh, no, I'm going to charge under state law.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know all of the ins and outs of the Jack Smith case with respect to the documents, but I don't know. We trusted this individual with the nuclear codes. He's really not allowed to have certain documents at his house. Really? Mm-hmm.
It's absurd.
When by the way, the current president has boxes of documents at you know, the...
From his vice president days.
From his vice president days in his garage next to his Corvette and in other places. you just kind of look at it and think to yourself, at least I do, really?
Well, they go after Trump now, and if it flips the way it should, then Biden's going to be prosecuted. And then if it flips again, it's going to be back to the other one.
And it's
going to be never ending.
It just needs to stop. And I think a lot of this goes back to I was young, very young at the time, but a sitting president of the United States was under oath at a deposition in the mid 90s and was specifically asked about his relationship with an intern, a 20-year-old intern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And lied.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
got away with it.
And nothing ever became of that. He was never removed from office. He wasn't charged with a crime. The Arkansas bar authorities removed his Arkansas bar law license. But, you know, it just seems as if there's a bit of a double standard here.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to believe that Warren Harding used to take naps at a bell tower? I mean, is that like...
Seeing the current commander-in-chief? No.
Yeah, that seems reasonable to you.
Did you hear the story? Seems reasonable now.
Did you hear the story?
No. Which bell tower? Ours here in Marion?
All right, here we go. So I'll just tell the story.
Just tell the story.
Okay, the church that I go to...
I just want to be... You're not going to bring up the Civil War again, are you?
I mean, not now.
Okay, that's fair.
I got a real good closer, though. I hope you know a lot about Jefferson Davis.
I'm just going to sit tight and wait. That's what I'm going to do.
So the church that I attend was doing these downtown Marion historical tours. And my pastor's wife was in the sanctuary, and she was giving a tour. And she had mentioned that President Harding used to sleep in the bell tower at what was at the time St. Paul's Episcopal Church. And
which was right beside the Marian Star.
And we have it, you know, on good authority. It's a verbal history. It's come down to us from the previous person. There was like 1,000 years old that that President Harding used to take naps. He used to walk across the street or whatever and take a nap in the bell tower. And so it's just a story they've been telling for years, and we just passed the story on. You know,
Harding did use the crosswalk.
We did, yeah. Well, definitely.
Yeah.
100. I mean, he's not
a lot of cars on the road back in 1919 right. or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he's not
tons.
He's not a criminal. I mean, he's just, you know, he wasn't a good president, but I mean, he was a good guy, you know. Anyway,
he followed local ordinances. I mean,
it was important to him, but not everybody, but it was to him. So anyway, so it's just something you say, whatever. Well, then our church's answering machine gets a call the other day that says, hey, you know, word has come to us that you've been just letting people know that President Harding took naps in the bell tower. We actually know that he did not take naps in the bell tower.
And who left this message?
Somebody from some sort of historical society in our city.
Yeah.
And not only do we not know, or do we know, we know that he didn't take naps in the bell tower. We just stop saying that. Like, we need you to stop spreading that false information. So,
have you been besmirching Warren G. Harding's
I didn't know that character. A nap was a besmirch, you know? Like, yeah. I thought we all took a nap, you know? And a bell tower is a good place to take a nap until they ring the bell, but, you know. So, anyway, so, but you don't, I mean, it doesn't, seems hard to prove, doesn't it?
It seems both hard to prove and disprove.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, exactly. I
mean, yeah, and oral histories have been accepted as as histories for generations.
Boy, I'm glad we had this conversation. This is making me feel way better.
Okay. So you're going to continue to tell people.
Oh, I'm currently making a sign that we're going to put up with an arrow that points to the
President Delta. Harding took naps here.
Blinking.
It's going to flash at night.
100%.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. With like a moving image of him like going like this. You know, because it's pretty important. You know, and
sponsored
it's worth
by
fighting for.
Mike Lindell and My Pillow.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He'll be sleeping on the pillow.
That makes sense. Uh-huh. And then when he comes up, perhaps maybe Jesse could have a Zin thing to pop out.
You know he's
just get him to wake him up. Wake him up.
Pop a pouch in his mouth.
I was kind of tired of the political talk. I had just kind of
so you bring up
over.
A former president.
Well, that doesn't count. You know.
No. Yeah, I think
I'm not saying
the idea that he did is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you have to take even official stance that you're saying he definitely did.
I think.
But that you could say that it seems hard to prove that he didn't.
It's plausible that
it's
he
certainly
did.
Certainly plausible. Yeah.
Plausible.
Sure.
Plausible.
What we know about Warren G. Harding, anything is plausible.
Listen, we're just hoping he took a nap there at this point.
Could have been other shenanigans. I don't know.
Well, one thing that I learned in court as a juror was that plausible was actually something.
That
actually means something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like you can infer things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so for example, had President Harding come down from the bell tower one day and was rubbing his eyes, pretty good circumstantial evidence.
Sure.
He was napping up there.
He had a big hat. You know what I mean?
That's
a candle.
Yeah. wearing a sleep shirt.
Yeah. You know, it's like we don't know. We can't prove it.
Right. But pretty good evidence.
All this point. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? That's going to be the first podcast. We're going to dive into this.
That's a smoking candle is what we have.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
That makes perfect sense.
Should we do the Netflix suggestion
hit the Netflix.
Of the week?
Okay.
This is, you know, apologize once again for the length of the song. It's a great song, so I won't really apologize that much.
Netflix, watch these shows with us. Netflix, or maybe Hulu Plus. Netflix, watch these shows with us. Netflix,
all right. I'm just going to cut it off. I'll fade it out. Jason, what is your Netflix suggestion of the week?
My Netflix suggestion of the week is found on Discovery Plus, Season 5. We've already watched Seasons 1 through 4.
As you do.
As we do.
Mm-hmm.
Season 5, 1,000-Pound Sisters.
Oh, jeez. Okay, now
listen. This is one of my guilty pleasures.
Just when I thought...
Yeah.
A non-smoker taking a nicotine pouch was the dumbest thing that you've done all day.
Well, we're on season 5.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear
1,000 Pound Sisters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one started off at 700. The other one started off like at 500 or something mm-hmm. like that. They're huge.
Yeah.
And you see their journey to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And these are interesting things to watch.
See, here's the thing is like, I'm not interested in that show at all.
Well, the reason, let me just explain. Okay, the reason why mm-hmm. I like the 1,000 Pound Sisters, My 600 Pound Life, Hoarders. I like all those shows because I can watch it and say, I'm bad, mm-hmm. but I'm not that bad.
Right. Well, obviously, that's why everybody watches those shows. But so like 600 Pound Life, there's this like hope that's like, you know what? Maybe they're going to turn it around. Because the whole point is that they're going to see Dr. Now and all of this stuff is happening. And that there's this thought that, you know, maybe at the end of the episode, we're going to find out they lost 400 pounds and they're doing great now. It seems to me, I've never seen the show, but seems to me that the whole point of this 1,000 Pound Sisters is that they're not really interested in changing. It's a dumpster fire.
They had the lap surgery, belt thing.
They did.
Down to combined weight of maybe 600.
Okay.
Are they going to change the name?
I was going to say, do they, like, as every season?
It's still 1,000 pounds. No, it's still 1,000 pound sisters. Well, there's hope that they could get back up.
Okay.
Keep that revenue rolling in from the show.
Yeah. No, I like the show. Okay. It's fun. And they're a bunch of dumb rednecks.
Sure. Once again, where are they from?
Like Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah, it makes me feel better about me.
Checks out. Another mark for Marion is that we've had two My 600 Pound Life episodes in Marion.
We've had two? I knew we had one. We had the gentleman who I don't remember his name, but there's been two.
There's a lady, maybe she was the first, and then he was this is the second of many, I assume. So, my Netflix suggestion. I don't really. I actually, you know what? I just started watching a documentary about Joseph Pulitzer, narrated by Adam Driver. Mm. I'm a big fan of Adam Driver, but it's pretty interesting. I like it.
What's it about?
Joseph Pulitzer,
the prize. Pulitzer
Prize. Well, that's who they named it after. But he was a newspaper man. Started off in San Francisco and then moved.
So there's no prizes.
No, it's not about the well, at this point, it's not yet about the Pulitzer Prize. Start off
eventually
in St. Louis,
to the prize.
Then he goes to New York. It's about Joseph Pulitzer,
not the prize.
Not the prize.
Okay, just the person. So,
it's pretty good. It's interesting, and I've been watching it. So,
nice.
Have you been watching anything, Ray?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that. I watched. I was excited that I watched it because I remember you asked me this last time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a short series called "Fool Me Once," based on a novel written by a guy whose name I can't remember at the moment.
Well, we assumed it was a guy.
If
it was
a novel, that's a lot of words.
I don't remember what it, but it's on Netflix. Fool Me Once. It was fantastic. It was really, really good.
A series, a movie, a doc.
It's a series. I think there was 8 episodes, 7 or 8 episodes. And but just last night, I watched about half of it. I'm not all the way through it, but the documentary about the We Are the World.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
What was remarkable to me was Lionel Richie it's a documentary about the 1985 We Are the World. Everybody came together and they basically did it in one night. Over 10 hours or something.
There's 40 of the world's biggest celebrity singers.
Yeah, from 1985. Yeah, it was incredible, right? Yeah. And so Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson wrote the song, but what I found fascinating about it was Michael Jackson didn't know how to write music.
Yeah.
And so he would literally hum
mm-hmm.
and sort of beatbox, I guess. Is that he would describe it, and would record individual parts in that order and then play them all together at once to kind of conduct the song. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, he was like a weird genius in the sense that he couldn't play any instruments or anything like that. Like when he would do let's like just beat it or whatever, he would just tell the guitar player like he's like just do that.
I think just like that. That was fantastic.
There was like a hee-hee in there somewhere.
and then jump up on your toes.
Jesse, you been watching anything?
Watching Pawn Stars.
Okay.
It's just
Preston, you've been watching?
Yeah, there's nothing to it. Just light watching.
Well, the guy's son just died.
The Pawn Stars guy?
Yeah, the Pawn Stars guy. Yeah. His son just died.
Not the kid from the show.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. It was a different kid. Not the kid on the show. A younger kid.
Right. Best I can do is, and then that's always what it is, right? It just ends with that. It's my wife can't stand that show, but I would like to watch it.
The last episode I watched last night, he bought the Everlasting Gobstopper from the original Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
What did he pay for that?
$100,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I guess he knows his business better than I do. Preston, you been watching anything? I mean, I know you've had some things come up on your HBO account that somebody's been watching. But
I mean, did you see that I actually made you?
Yeah, yeah. You spelled my name wrong, but yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it was really fast.
He spells names wrong in like all of our group texts too. Fine. All
right, happens. What you been watching?
The 90s X-Men cartoon.
The cartoon.
Yeah.
You've been watching cartoons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all I can watch anymore.
Have you seen the new Ninja Turtles?
No.
Okay.
The movie?
No. It's an animated series. Oh. It's weird. It's really weird. My kids watch it.
You know what I've noticed? I've gotten rid of recently, like, every social media thing on my phone, but let's just face it, sometimes you just want to, like, scroll, you know? So Google suggest articles that it thinks I will like. So if I just open up my Google app, it'll be like I can just read things, and it just gives me a bunch of stuff about Lord of the Rings or whatever. But there's this heading that is just really annoying to me that keeps on showing up. Is like it'll be like Netflix just quietly released the best sci-fi movie of the year, and they keep on saying that. I'm like, no, they're not quietly. And I clicked on it once. No, that's not a thing.
No,
they quietly release
it because they're afraid it's going to tank.
But it got me to click on it, and it made me mad that I clicked on it. So
and then he watched it.
Do we have time for me to ask one thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is everybody else as excited as I am that the new season of Cobra Kai is in production? Just me? Okay. All right. Glad I asked.
I saw the first season. I liked it a lot. Did you watch
the one that was on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I watched that one too. Here is where I lost interest when they get away from Daniel and the older people, the younger people's storyline. I don't care about them.
Yeah. You know, that's fair.
The teenagers.
Yeah,
if it was all centered around the older guys and just if they were just kind of like there, but I understand what they're doing. They're trying to hook younger people, but I'm not interested in that.
Apparently 41 year old.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But they got you right where they want you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have to say goodbye to Apollo.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers. No longer with us. I told my wife, I was like, it's not funny, but everybody dies. I told my wife, I mean, okay, so let's just do it. Carl Weathers from
Rocky.
Rocky. And is that what you know him from?
Yeah. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean,
Predator.
Predator. He was big in Predator.
Mandalorian.
And so I told my wife.
Billy Madison. No, not Billy Madison.
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
I said, Carl Weathers. She's like, oh, he's the guy that, like the alligator bit his hand off. Right?
Yeah. That's great.
I'm like, that's what you know him from? Like, that's the first thing that came to your mind, you know? So
the first thing that comes to my mind is him and Rocky running on the beach, mm-hmm. embracing each other as the waves crash over them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It plays different, you know, I think 2024.
2024 is compared to, you know, 1982.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's be honest. If Clubber Lang and Rocky Balboa were really fighting each other, Clubber Lang is winning that.
Yes, 100%
every single time.
Yeah. No, Rocky 3 is great. It's underrated. Rocky 4 is the best.
See, no, very quickly, because I know
we're out of time. Fine. Yeah.
While we're talking about the Civil War before, I don't think Rocky Balboa gets enough credit for ending the Cold War. Mm. And I think we need to be teaching this in schools.
Yes.
Rocky change.
And use can change.
And
ended the Cold War by saying that. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, on our text group, Preston sent out the information that Carl Weathers had died, and I immediately sent out the GIF of Ivan Drago saying, if he dies, he dies. Too soon, maybe. I don't know.
That is remarkable because that is entirely appropriate, yet inappropriate at the same time. That is
That's what
perfect.
That text chain is for. All right, that's the show. Thanks, Ray, for coming
on. Thank you guys for having me. It's always a blast. I appreciate it very, very much.
All right. Okay. This is Dan signing off for Jason, reminding you to always keep your stick on the ice and never wear the blue sweats.
Good night.
I've spoken.
Good night, Lower Patch Kids, and especially you, Mrs. Grogan, since she's an avid listener.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she lets Ray come do this with us.
Yeah, we're very happy about
this. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.